The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering, and producing our show today. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, February the 8th, 2018, coming to you from Tucson's Voice. That's AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts and the complete Buckmaster Show archive available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040 is our Buckmaster Show hotline number. Let's go right now on the live line to Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Councilman Cunningham, how are you, sir?
Bill, thanks for having me. It's great to be on.
Thank you for taking a break. I know you've got a very busy day there at school, but it is your lunch hour. I appreciate the time. I want to talk a little bit about this council meeting this week. Let's begin with the, I think it's a two-acre site where it used to be the old Broadway of Volvo. It's now, of course, Volvo of Tucson. They moved to the west side. So what happens? The neighbors have been very concerned about what the future that property is. Where is that right now as far as what the council's going to be?
It's still pretty early. We're still in some of the preliminary stages on what processes to put in place. Is it going to be an RFP? Is it going to be a sale? Is it going to be, you know, there's about five different options or different scenarios that can play out. The best thing to do is to try to just make it as transparent as possible. And that's what I think what we're trying to do is trying to get, you know, the best deal for the city, but also make it the best option for the community and also make it as transparent as possible. When all those three factors are in place, Bill, it becomes a very complicated process. And so I think that we're on the right track, but it's a little early. I think that both Ward 5 and Ward 6 have done a fabulous job interacting with the community and the stakeholders and the common people around it. And ultimately, I think that the resolution we come to will be the best for the community.
Well, can you tell us what are some of the concerns of the neighbors in the area?
Well, I think that I say the number one concern is student housing. I think that they've seen a lot of different student housing projects, and they're not sure. I think they're weary of another one. I think another one is going too far in the air with immediate single-family residences nearby. So the height of the building, I think, is definitely a concern there. And I also think that, you know, how it will blend and how it will transition with the historic parts of the neighborhood are the concerns that have been raised from the neighbors.
And it is part of the Rio Nuevo district.
It is part of Rio Nuevo, so if Rio Nuevo goes in and they have some stake in if we put it out to RFP and if there's a private buyer or if we just sell it to the district or we just sell it to a developer, all those scenarios can have a piece of what's going on. So, like I said, it's a pretty wide process, and we've just got to kind of set it up. And be as transparent as possible. So, like I said, it's really early, but the concerns have been heard from the neighbors loud and clear. The information from the stakeholders has been loud and clear. And I think long term, I think ultimately we'll have a very good. We'll have a very good process.
How about the Sunshine Mile? I believe that's that area on Broadway, and a lot of people have wondered what's going to happen in that area. The council spent a lot of time in the meeting this week not really many firm decisions, but there were some redevelopment ideas floated around.
Well, I mean, it's what I said at the meeting was the same as I say now, and that is that this is an opportunity to revision the area, revision the strip, make it a part of Broad Street, make it like the Broad Street of Philadelphia. I thought that was interesting to see. I think that the I think there's some great opportunity there. I like kind of the visioning process. That gives us an ability and an option to preserve some of the historic properties that are very dear and important to the neighbors. And so at this point, I like where we're going, but it's very preliminary. We really haven't gotten to the nuts and bolts part of the process. And then when that happens, I think that's when you're going to have a little bit more discussion, a little bit more heated opinion. And you know, you just got to do the right thing and just – again, just listen to the stakeholders and try to come up with the best compromise and best consensus building solution. But it's just a little early to get there.
Could you explain where that is for our listeners who don't know what the Sunshine Mile is?
Okay, so the Sunshine Mile exists west of Alvernon on Broadway, and it's a program that. It's a redevelopment from the RTA project. And so the RTA was set up, and the RTA has this Broadway project. It's the widening of Broadway. And the Sunshine Mile is that existing. And it's got some historical and it's got some long-term meaning to people in Tucson. And so the concept of the Sunshine Mile is to not only do the widening and augment the road and improve the traffic flow, but also to preserve the sense of place that existed when we built it.
Well, do you remember it growing up in a certain way? Because you've been in this town forever, you and your family.
Well, you know, I grew up east of Alvernon, so we didn't do a lot of Sunshine Miling. I don't have the personal experience from it. But I do remember going to the places that were there. I do remember growing up and going up and down. I mean, I remember the cat dragged in when I was in college. So that's what I think of when I think of the Sunshine Mile. That's long gone. So I think it's just important to there is obviously a sense of place for a significant number of those neighbors, and I think it merits. A discussion, but again, we also need to ensure that the long-term vision for that traffic flow improvement will be realized.
Is the Contiki Bar part of that Sunshine Mile?
That's east of Alvernon.
Okay,
I'm not even going to touch that one. So
all right.
I can say that for everyone who knows, I mean, it's no big secret.
Yeah.
That I've had my share of school.
What was that? I think on that note, we may have lost Paul on his cell phone.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Okay. All right. I want to transition a little bit to this. You spoke about transparency, and I brought this up with the mayor when he was on the show about 2 weeks ago on our Friday Focus interview about the number of cops on the street. There continue to be these reports that the people of this community are not getting the true story about how many cops are really out on the street at any one time.
Well, I can only go with the information that I have.
Okay.
And the information that I have that the manager's reporting that we're paying for. So that program is at 810 or something. But I think there's some merit to the idea that we might have been under 800, which is just completely unacceptable. That being said, you know, we're putting in a plan to increase a net of 20 to 25 police officers a year. We're also adding significantly to the police payroll budget to try to improve some of our retention. I mean, and that's, I will not vote for a budget that doesn't include a package that improves our retention numbers and makes us competitive with other areas in specific job functions that we have within the police department. But I will say that we had a bump in patrol, and then our attrition went up, and we've lost some of our patrol. So we're back to where we were before, with some of our response times and stuff like that. And absolutely, I'm committed to improving that. As far as the inconsistent numbers, it's a moving target anyway, because your daily number is always less or more. We just graduated another academy, and then we start another academy. So then do you pick the ones that just or we start another academy in a few weeks? Do you pick that 25 class members as commissioned but non-deployable, and how do you count it? And I think that's one of the reasons over the long period of time we've never gotten a straight answer. When I first came onto the council, the budget authorized 998 police officers. That was what the budget authorized. We never operated at that high. I think the chief has been at least good in saying, look, we're not going to have paper officers. We're going to tell you how many we have. He said that from the beginning. So there's people out there saying we only have 600, but then we had a budget retreat last week that said we have to have enough money to give raises to 810 officers. Huh. Well, if that's the case, that's what I have to go with.
Yeah. And I want to talk about the budget retreat. We're going to talk about that after we take the break with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. We'll take our break right here. Councilman Cunningham, stick around. We'll be right back.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Society proudly presents the 64th Annual Tucson Gem and Mineral Show.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show is the single finest gem and mineral show in the world. There's thousands of enthusiastic buyers, and the collectors are really fortunate to see an assemblage of the finest mineral specimens, gems, and jewelry that they'll see anywhere on the planet.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, February 8th through the 11th at the Tucson Convention Center. Go to tgms.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours.
The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Congresswoman Martha McSally. The Friday Roundtable features Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Joe Ferguson, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star, plus Matt Russell with Weekend Watch during the noon hour on Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. It is the Buckmaster Show. Going to be a great weekend, isn't it? Temperatures low 80s. So really good weekend to do some early spring, late winter gardening. And Green Things is the place to go for all of your gardening needs. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk on a beautiful site. They're on 13 acres there. And they're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com. Quickly, I want to tell you about a couple of their workshops coming up. This Saturday, 10 a.m., a fairy garden workshop. So, and then the following day in the afternoon at 2, understanding drip irrigation. That will be one of the free workshops out at Green Things. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham with us on the live line. Councilman, I've never asked you this before. Is gardening one of your hobbies?
Well, wait, I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Well, my question, are you a gardener?
Oh, from time to time, yeah, absolutely. I've really gotten into the native plants and xeriscaping, so that you're using only native water. And so I've gotten, I've tried to get better and better at that. Though I have it, I'm kind of a sucker for golden barrels and birds of paradise. So, you know.
Well, you're doing the right thing by thinking about water usage, because after all, Cape Town, South Africa, a city of 4 million people, is literally running out of water. They've got water up until, like, I think the end of April, and if the rains don't come, they're in big trouble. And that's kind of a familiar story, isn't it, to us living in southern Arizona?
Well, when we go back to 1995, there were rumblings that we only had 20 to 25 years of water.
I remember.
And, so that means 3 years ago, our time should have been up.
Yeah.
But we made the right choices long term, and we still have a few things we could do. There's still a few cuts at the apple we're missing. Dry well storage, a little more xeriscaping with our landscaping policies, and possibly even some more efficient stormwater capture. But we're doing almost everything we could be doing to restore the water table at a natural rate. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's all about. I'd love us to be in a situation where we have some degree of water equilibrium in case we lose CAP for 2 years, 3 years, because we need to replenish the Colorado. I'd like to have that 10-year or 15-year guaranteed wet water storage available to us, and that's a goal of mine over the next century. It's probably going to be my kids and my grandkids working on it, but that to me is a very admirable goal.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge story too this year, as the rains really. The winter rains have not come. It's been one of the hottest, I think, maybe the hottest winter on record here in southern Arizona. So we could be facing a real bad situation here this year.
Yeah, it's drier here this winter than I think this is like the second driest winter in about 27 years or something. Mm-hmm. I had the information in front of me, but you know, the bottom line is that you're going to have ebbs and flows. Remember, we had a pack, snowpack last year in the Catalinas. Yeah. We had the Tanque Verde Creek flowing over the water. We had a surface flow of the Tanque Verde Creek for like 87 days. I actually documented it with pictures on my Twitter every 5 days. So
wow.
It's interesting that we go from a year like that to this year where it's like the pump just got turned off.
Yeah.
And we had kind of almost steady flow last year from January through monsoon. We had steady surface water flow. I mean, we had a month or two drops here and there, but still it was kind of neat having that relito with surface water. And so it's really disappointing this year to start off where we are. We're basically in the middle of a winter drought, and if we have a bad monsoon, it's an official drought where we are definitely in a situation with grave concern.
Yeah, feast or famine. In the remaining 5 minutes, I want to talk about revenue, and I think one of the themes, it may have been the theme of your Tucson City Council member retreat that was held recently. Are we going to have to raise costs here with the possibility of some new taxes?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit different because the percentage people are going to be paying is about the same. It's just we need more reliable and steady revenue flows. I'm okay talking about new taxes as long as we take some of the old taxes away. I would trade a property tax increase for tax. I'd be open to talking to that. I don't know if it, you know, I'd want to hear from people first and see what they think, but you know, I'd be willing to look at stuff like that. I mean, some of that depends on or teeters on whether or not we use, We do that with commercial properties or industrial properties or just residential properties. Then we're putting it on our residents, and we're doing too much for employers. It becomes corporate giveaways. Or on the other hand, these are the people who are driving the economy. Why would we drive them away? So it's a whole chicken and egg thing. It's not an easy discussion to have, but it's definitely worth having it because you don't really know. I mean, there's no silver bullet to make the government work. I will say this. I think the number one barrier to us being successful as far as from a fiscal standpoint is we've got to use the state laws that exist in our favor for the region. And that means we've got to have more the mayor mostly talks about annexation, and I'm fine with people wanting to annex in the city, but if you don't want to annex in the city, that's fine too, but at least form your own town. Mm-hmm. Because then our state share revenues go up. Form your own town and charge two cent sales tax and fund the extra officers you can have, and that way some of that county money can come down to the towns and they'd be able to hire more police officers. I mean, that would make a lot more sense than trying to create new taxes. But right now we just don't have an equitable system because we don't have enough incorporated communities. And here's the deal. 3%. I'm talking about the 3% of HERF money that goes to incorporated towns. Now there's a bill to repeal that in the legislature, but still it doesn't help Tucson. It actually hurts Tucson even more.
Hmm.
And this has been the theme of Maricopa County for over 30 years. Since the mid-80s, Maricopa County legislators have pooled their votes together and found ways to say, all right, if the state budget is $10 million and Maricopa County has $60 million has 60% of the population, then they're going to end up with $80 million of the revenue. So even though they have 60% of the population of the state, they get 80% of the revenue. It is completely disproportional. You know the book, The Hunger Games?
Yeah.
It's like The Hunger Games, where the 13 other counties serve the capital, which is Maricopa County. That's basically where we're at. Mm. And that has to change. There has to be tax equity. But, you know, one step to tax equity, we're doing it to ourselves partly because we have like 37 or 38% of our population living in unincorporated areas. If we could get over that hump, then at least we'd be in a position to argue with the state. But they're able to look at us and laugh because we're not smart enough to figure that out. That's kind of that's my high horse right there.
All right. I've only got a few seconds really out of time, but what have you heard about the GEM show so far?
I think we had a pretty successful GEM show. I know that lots of people from the Midwest enjoyed the weather. We had one security breach this year, but it isn't the first one, and they happen in other GEM shows around the country. I think we're looking forward to a real successful GEM show. I'm optimistic when the numbers come in.
All right, and of course the big show for all of the Tucsonans gets underway at the Tucson Convention Center today. It's underway right now, so go and support that. Paul Cunningham, thank you very much. I'll let you get back to work there at school. Thanks for joining us.
Bill, thanks for having me, and let's have a great weekend. Go Wildcats tonight.
All right. Paul Cunningham with us on Buckmaster, where it is now 12:30 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. It is the Buckmaster Show and our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America, the CEO-driven regional alliance helping to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in 144 company relocations and expansions and an economic impact of just over $22 billion. For more information about Southern Arizona's economic engine, go to suncorridorinc.com. And joining me in studio, Ian McDowell, Vice President and Regional Director for Tucson-based Sunt Construction, which is 100% employee-owned with revenues approaching $1 billion. Sunt won more Associated General Contractors Build America Awards than any other U.S. contractor. Mr. McDowell is a member of the Sunt Corridor, Inc. Board of Directors. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to hear a little bit and share with our listeners the Sunt story. It's an interesting history. The company really began in Las Vegas, not Las Vegas, Nevada, but Las Vegas, New Mexico, back at the end of the 1800s.
Yeah,
right?
It was 1890.
Wow.
1890, Moritz Mortensen Sunt decided to hang a shingle out in Las Vegas, New Mexico, in the northern part of the state.
And why did the family then decide to move to Tucson?
So that's an interesting story. One of Moritz's brothers happened to be an architect, and he was designing a church, actually, and he was looking for a contractor to build it and thought highly enough of his brother to suggest that maybe he make the transition out here to come build the church. So in 1929, that's when we moved the company from New Mexico, where it was, over to Tucson.
And in 1929, I would say Tucson probably didn't have many headquarter companies. I mean, we still don't have that many, but in 1929, it must have been very strange.
You know, I always try to put it in perspective. And when I'm talking to somebody about it, I looked up the census information in Tucson. And in 1929, there were 32,000 people who lived here. And the relative number that I give today is there are 34,000 students at U of A enrolled right now. So, yeah, we moved the headquarters here when the town was about the size of the university.
So many really important projects. Sunt has such a really storied past. Everything from everybody's talking about a Tesla and a mannequin in space right now. Well, that space shot was off a launch pad at Cape Canaveral, that actually was the Apollo mission launch pad, but Sunt built that.
Yeah, we did. That was that was a lot of fun for me this week. You know, the kids were in school and they actually watched the launch. And my youngest, that was the first thing she asked me. She said, "Was that your launch pad?" And I actually had to watch the launch myself. And they said, "No, it was launch pad 39A." And in the 1960s, we were over there in Cape Canaveral and we actually wound up building that launch pad. And, you know, it's an important historical piece. And I like to think that that's a nice extension of Tucson, too, that, you know, this little company from Tucson was part of not only the Apollo mission in the 1960s, but like I say, my kids are watching that in school. I would imagine a lot of kids were watching that launch. And you know, Tucson had a part in that launch that just happened this week.
They've done some big embassy work, the new U.S. embassy in London and in Moscow, I believe, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Moscow was the one. And the only correction I make there, it was not exactly new. We actually took down
the remodel.
Yeah, we did the big renovation. We took down all the upper floors and then reconstructed them. But that was in the 90s where we went over and rebuilt the U.S. Embassy in Moscow.
Ian, talk a little bit about the footprint, the economic footprint that you have right here in Tucson, and how important an economic driver your company is to this community.
What I would tell you is that, frankly, our company rises and falls with the economic tide of a town. You know, when you put your headquarters in a town, your company is going to thrive when the community thrives. So economic development is hugely important to us. I mean, we do have a lot of employees. A lot of people worked at some point for Sunt over the years. We've got about 2,000 employees right now. And many of those in Tucson. But certainly, like I say, from my perspective, everybody in the community wants to be a part of economic development because that water that is economic development will float all the ships.
Yeah, because we're all part of the community. And of course, what goes on with Sunt, and you say you've got like 2,000 people on the payroll, and those are good jobs.
Sure. No, they're great jobs. And again, too, just to extend that to some of the work that Sun Corridor has been doing, and you extend that to places like Caterpillar. So the Caterpillar job coming here, I don't know that I hope I'm not putting too much emphasis on it, but I think it's a historic project for Tucson. You have hundreds of just great jobs coming into town.
Do you consider it a turning point right in recent past, the Caterpillar decision?
I do think it is. I feel like Tucson's got just such great momentum. You know, I'm a construction guy, so that means that sometimes you bounce around. I started my career here in 1994, and I worked here for 12 years, and then I spent 10 years sort of around. Have different places. I've been back for 2 years. I think downtown is amazing. I think downtown just has a huge amount of momentum. I think things like the Caterpillar announcement and all the Raytheon jobs. I really feel like that Tucson's got momentum. I think that's the word that I'd use for it.
Your company gives a lot back to this town, don't they? We're talking about charitable giving.
Sure. No, we sure try. No, we wind up giving money every place we have an office. We've got 11 offices across the country, and every place we have an office, we have a foundation that will collect money from that local office and then distribute it in that community. So, to date, we've given about $7.3 million through the Sunt Foundation to different charities in the different towns where we live, and obviously in places like Tucson where we have a pretty big footprint, we try to give back. It's important too.
And you've been involved, you're on the board with Sun Corridor. What do you see the future there?
I hope it's more of the same, is what I would tell you. Again, it's been a great time in Tucson to be back. You know, we're very busy. I know a lot of other firms are busy. You know, all that stuff trickles down too. When Sunt gets a project, you know, we're hiring another 30 or 40 companies to come help us implement the work. You know, they have each one of those companies has employees. Each one of those companies has suppliers where they buy things. Frankly, if we had more of the same that we've had in the last couple of years, I'd be very, very happy.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the current projects. You mentioned you've been working with the RTA.
Sure.
And then you've got some other projects, too, that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Certainly, I'd be remiss if I didn't take a moment and thank all the customers that we've had. Both, I don't know if I can name them all since 1929, but
probably not.
Certainly, we're nothing without our customers. We certainly appreciate those. Some of the current projects we have, where we just finished up the first phase of a project over for Pima County. It's called the Pima Animal Care Center.
Oh, yes.
So got that open. I
big
I always,
supporter of those folks.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
that
great.
Project was an architect, I believe, who specializes in animal centers.
That's right. So Line and Space is a local firm, and they were the architect of record on that, and they had a consultant on their team.
And you guys did the building.
We did.
Wow.
And it's great. I tell you, you go over there, and it is just night and day. You cannot describe the degree to which that facility was upgraded. And I always like to make the connection. A lot of the young people who work for us, they are always trying to understand I'm trying to reinforce, I should say, how the things we do can really make a difference. And, you know, you look at a place like that and tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of animals will get adopted out of that facility. And that's a pretty cool thing to be a part of.
I have time for a couple more projects. Can you give me a couple more?
Sure. Just to kind of run down a few, we've got the big project over at Banner where we're doing the expansion there. We are just finishing up some work over at the airport. If you've been to the airport recently, you see that it has a new look on the inside.
Oh, you guys did that as well?
Huh? We did, yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, yep. We've got a big project starting up for the University of Arizona. We started a senior living facility up in Oro Valley called All Seasons of Oro Valley, and then of course the Caterpillar job that we talked about a few minutes ago.
Very cool. Sounds like you guys are very busy, and that's good because that puts a lot of people to work.
You bet it does, yeah.
Ian, thank you very much. Ian McDowell is the Vice President and Regional Director here in Tucson for Tucson-based Sunt Construction. Sunt has been in town here as their headquarters since 1929. Ian, I appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you very much.
And for more information, visit suncorridorinc.com, Southern Arizona's economic engine. We'll be right back. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive to a beautiful part of the southwestern United States. Good starting place is their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete listing of the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City, including doing some hiking and camping in the Gila National Wilderness. And again, it's just a 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Let's welcome now for his monthly visit Dr. Mark Sykes, the CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which is now 46. Oh boy, I'm got to keep up with the times here. 46 years as a Tucson nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, good to see you.
Always great to be here.
It is serendipitous to have you on now because there seems to be more buzz right now about that Tesla Roadster in orbit and the, quote, star man at the wheel. Most folks have already seen these incredible images, and people are getting excited again about space.
And I would say that if anybody did not watch that launch the other day, to get on YouTube or the SpaceX website.
It's everywhere on
and
Facebook.
Watch it. It was the most exciting thing I have seen since watching the shuttle go up in 1980 for the first time.
And what were some of your thoughts as you watched that? What made it so exciting for you?
Well, that it's the first launch of a very big rocket. And I mean, it's not Saturn V, but it's getting up into that class. The fact that it worked so well, you know, perfectly all the way up, watching the boosters detach and then come down and land, you know, almost like a synchronized
again,
swimming
right?
team.
Reusable.
Yeah. And that reusability is the core, aspect of Musk being able to charge only $90 million a launch for the Falcon Heavy, which we saw the other day, as opposed to the Space Launch System, which is scheduled to be tested, I think, maybe next year or something. It has more than twice the thrust, 5 million pounds for Falcon Heavy, 11.9 for SLS, but it's $1 billion a launch. And so more than 10 times as much cost. So Musk has achieved something spectacular, both in terms of watching, but also in terms of making getting into space cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the cost alone is going to be, that's mind-boggling, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it really is.
But
yeah.
this particular the Tesla Roadster. The orbit is where is the destination?
It has no destination. It's now driving around the sun.
Okay.
You know, the Tesla Roadster with Starman sitting in the with the little panel on the side that says "Don't panic," and so it'll come back and get as close to the sun as about is just slightly less than Earth distance from the sun, and it'll go out. Its furthest distance from the sun as it orbits will be 1.7 times the distance of the Earth as compared to Mars, which is 1.5 times the distance of the Earth. So it'll go a little further than Mars is from the sun.
What happens to it eventually?
It'll
But I mean, how long will it keep
forever. until something hits it or has a close passage to Mars or something and gets perturbed into another orbit. Otherwise, it'll be hit by, kind of space dust and get pockmarked and it'll be a job for a car painting outfit, in a decade or so.
It has certainly gotten a lot of people talking about Mars, and there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that I shared with you from the weekend about will humans live on Mars in the next few decades, and this was a review of a new book titled The Future of Humanity, mm-hmm. Transforming Mars, Interstellar Travel, mm-hmm. Immortality, and Our Destiny Beyond Earth. That's a long title, The book is going to be published this month, and I don't know how the author pronounces his name, but the last name is Kaku, I believe, K-A-K-U. What'd you think of that?
Well, I think that there's a lot of things that are legal in states these days, and an important step is what Musk has done in terms of reducing the cost of sending stuff up there, and it really does take us closer to perhaps returning to the moon or going on to Mars, except that it needs to be something more than a roadster with the Starman in there. Sending people back around the moon or sending people around Mars, that's great, but at the end of the day, it's a stunt.
Right.
Now, Musk talks about colonizing Mars, which would be a real human goal for doing something like that. And I think it's absolutely something that we should be investigating to see if it's possible. But because we're not doing any homework that needs to be done, can Earth life thrive in less than one gravity? Mars is less than the Earth, gravity, 2/3 or so, and so can humans not just live but reproduce and have a multi-generational culture up there? We can figure that out. We can figure that out with the space station. We've been able to attack that problem for 50 years, but until we decide that we really want to answer that question, the answer to are we going to be colonizing Mars in the next few decades? No. It'll be more roadsters with maybe real people in it for a short distance.
So you're saying we're not really doing the groundwork that is necessary to make this it happen within a couple of decades.
No. I mean, people like to think that all we have to do is want something hard enough and click our heels together three times and it'll be the Jetsons.
Yeah.
But just like we learned from Apollo when we thought back in the 60s, or maybe I should say when we thought back in the 60s.
Nearly 50 years ago.
That we were going to be, boy, when I was a junior high school student back then, if somebody had asked me, where do you think we'll be in the year 2000? I would have said, my gosh, 8 years from nothing to the surface of the moon, we would be colonizing the moon, Mars, and onto the stars, by 2000.
I certainly thought the same thing in 1969, of course.
Yeah, but it wasn't to be, because we weren't even asking the question of, well, what would it take to stay on the moon and live there? What would it take to go on to Mars and live there? We're working on the getting there part, but we've done nothing on the living there part. So until we start working on the living there part, which I think would be fantastic, it'd be a fantastic problem to sink our teeth into and answer a very fundamental question about what our future can or cannot be. The stuff like this article that says, are we going to be, decades mm-hmm. away from doing this? Like, mm-hmm. no, it's more, let's go to the movies.
What do we learn from of course, we talked about that reusable Falcon, mm-hmm. the Falcon Heavy costing a tenth of what it would cost for NASA. But how is this going to help us in getting to places like Mars?
Well, Musk has a bigger rocket that could do that job with a human-sized payload. It's called a BF rocket, and yes, it does stand for what you think it does.
Mm. Oh boy!
So I mean, if he can continue to produce launch vehicles with this kind of cost savings, then it opens up the door if we want to do the rest of the homework to answer some of these questions. Maybe we can do even more basic research there. You know, you're sending just rovers down on the surface to find not big, you know, complex Christmas trees, but like these Opportunity and Spirit rovers, you know, because there's a lot of places on Mars to try to understand, is there water there? Is there life there? Is there, you know, are there conditions that we might make use of if we wanted to go and live there?
So how did that work quickly with the backstory with Mr. Musk? He then rented the, paid for the space there at the launch pad and at Cape Canaveral. Is that how that works? Or,
you know, I don't know what the arrangement was. Yeah. It certainly.
But you got to wonder what some of the costs might have been there.
Well, I tell you, it would have been, you know, if we want to buy from him in the future, I'd say give him the pad to make this thing work, and then we'll be making savings for future government-funded projects, NASA-funded projects, by buying his product. And maybe the other competitors that are out there, too, Blue Origin and others.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Great to see you, sir. people can find out more about the Planetary Science Institute by going to psi.edu. I got it right finally, right? Only took 3 years. Thanks, Mark. We'll see you next month. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. And then it's from the GEM show today. Very cool. From the Tucson Convention Center. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. Our scheduled guest, Congresswoman Martha McSally. That's coming up at 12:04 tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.